Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, good evening. I'm Larry Holmes of ESPN New York 98.7 FM. I have the pleasure of talking to you about the man you're about to listen to, Doc Stanley, the legendary Doc Stanley. I always say before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. When you listen to Doc Stanley, you have to appreciate the knowledge, the connection. When he's at the ballpark during baseball, he's around the water cooler talking to the athletes. When he's at the basketball games, he's in the locker room talking to players, talking to general managers, talking to front office personnel to bring you the insight why people make the decisions they make. When he's on the ice skating rink, he's talking to some of the few African-American, African-Canadian, African players who are on the ice right now making a difference. You are listening to Doc Stanley on Sports and Depth.
There are seven wonders of the universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time to tell a friend about Sports in Depth. It's heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem. Now, here's your host, Doc Stanley.
And without further ado, we're talking today. We're going to kick it off right away, bringing you before the prayer into the Sports and Depth Nation. And only one person to do that, Mel Cosell Smith Jr. Rooney, it's showtime.
Oh, yes. Good doctor. The Sports and Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God, the radio network. The school that serves the drink is here. And that is indeed the incomparable Doc Sam. Take it away, Doc.
And with that, John Coltrane is in the prayer. The Lord. Thank you for another day. More importantly, having your will, have your way. We thank you for the little things which are largely taken for granted. As Memorial Day comes up, let's remember the soldiers who have went to war so that we can have peace, realizing that there's no bad peace in open war. We thank you, Lord, for your daughter and sisters to guide them, because that we may have the right to fear life. Thank you, Lord, lady once said that you're God all by yourself. We thank you, Lord, that we're alive again on Brazil. More importantly, Lord, by the grace of God, that we are alive in Christ. We ask these blessings, all these blessings, in the name of your darling son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. The bright and morning star, Rosa Sharer, Jesus Christ. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, this is part of the network live. Again, from the CII, capital of the state, CII, And open kit. Just had a birthday yesterday. My development. He kept was first ever African American quarterback in history. Staten Island football. And we come back to happy birthday tomorrow. One of the top quarterbacks of our generation. And the legendary when I'm from New York City. Yes, Sam Lou, Jamie Harris. And we come back to the we also had the management of the song. The president of the country. Who happens to have his same birthday on the same day as Rolls Royce? By many to be credited, there were a handful of times not the question. The woman has been here for a handful of times. Also, quarter because they're raised up, but they still remain on the same. And it's also going to be awesome. Where is Emma Price? This is a boxing and from basketball, and we looked at the fact that LeBron James now, and some of the names are on the tag, we put the tag here for the month. One of them was David Beckham. David Beckham, as you know, retired from football at one time. One of the elite players in the game. I thought a guy that got a lot of the play. Corinthians last week won some power championship. They beat Santos, the number one football player in Brazil, Neymar. Neymar and Santos were bidding to win the championship 4 years in a row. Something that had never been done. 3 years ago had been done by Santos when they had great play. But Neymar was trying to do something that Pelé had never done. And Sergio Castro Jr., Corinthians' biggest fan, no question. He talked about how, you know, Pelé was in a very catch-22 position. If Santos won, Pelé is very happy. That's the team he came from. 15 to be with Santos. Same time, he superseded by Neymar being the first footballer ever to take Santos to four straight San Paulo championships. As you know, they came up short. Now, via Corinthians, 2-1 win at Santos. Big win. They beat Santos at home after winning their game at home. So, some powerful things have happened. I'm appreciating the game here. You know, it's amazing, Rooney. And me and Desha were watching the MMA. It's amazing, and I'm pretty sure you're on top of this too, Rooney, what a great job of officiating that they do. I mean, they are, as soon as a guy has one iota of seeming to be in trouble, they are there. I remember me and Desha were watching a match, and the guy had got dropped. He had got staggered. And we didn't say anything to ourselves. I mean, to each other, but to ourselves. Hey, man, when's the guy going to stop the fight? And in a matter of 5 seconds, the fight turned around. The referee proved to be so apropos in allowing the gentleman to recover who came back and won one of the most exciting MMA fights I've ever seen. But the thing that I liked so much, Rooney, was they are the best officials of any sport that I have seen to date. And Rooney, quite possibly, the best I've seen in action since I saw Mindy Rudolph, the only NBA referee who would call a foul on Bill Russell and anybody in the Boston uniform in Boston Gardens. Rooney?
Well, Doc, they have to be because they literally have people's lives in their hands. People have absolutely, I mean, I know they see it on TV and they know that these are tough guys. But these referees, they literally have the guys' lives in their hands, Doc. I'm in a choke too long or some type of submission hold too long, And these guys can go, Doc. I mean, people do not realize that when guys start choking people out, as we commonly call it, choking a guy out, when you put that kind of hold on a guy, Doc, what that does is cut off the circulation of blood going directly to the brain. Not just your oxygen and windpipe, but it cuts off the blood going directly to the brain. If that goes on for too long, at the very least, you're talking about some type of brain damage, and at the very most, the end. So this is serious business, Doc. These guys have to be good at their craft.
Rooney, they're not good. They, if I can find a word beyond great, they, I mean, and it was something that I comprehended in a very small amount, a minute time. You know, it was like I said, wow, look how on top of everything these guys are, and they just have to be commended. And then I look around, and we see a game, the Corinthians game. It wasn't against Santos. I'm trying to find what team it was, but official. Just three huge mistakes. You know, any kind of mistake by an official can be detrimental, but to make three huge ones.
Before I forget, let me just say this, Doc. Not to interrupt you, but I just have to mention these two names.
Yeah.
These two are acknowledged as two of the top referees in MMA. One of them is a brother, Herb Dean, one of the top referees and officials in this game. Although I've seen a couple of times when Herb has been a little late. But for the most part, he's pretty much on top of it. I'd say about 92% of the time, Herb Dean is. Seen a couple of times when he could have stepped in a little sooner. But for the most part, he's usually right on top of it. And the other is Big John McCarthy. Those are the two guys that you'll see referring the biggest fights in MMA, specifically the UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championships. And those are two guys you're acknowledged as two of the top referees in that business. Again, Herb Dean and Big John McCarthy.
Okay. Yeah, well, all of those guys, as far as I can see, you guys are talking about, they got pluses. They're just on top of it. You know who, we talk about officials and the referee who was caught, admitted the cheating scandal. It's crazy how quickly that went away. Hoopster, you know, he was caught, admitted, but you know, it's just like if you didn't come on the scene, then I mean, in a matter of I'd say Hoopster months, I mean weeks, it was like it didn't happen. Reminded me so much of
Tim Thardy. Yeah, Tim Thardy. Yeah, I remember him. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but you do because you're an expert. But I'm saying, you know, it was a situation as if it never. I'm not saying we don't, you know, forgiveness is not a case or act, but a permanent state of mind. But it's a situation that I just wonder how this would have been, as I always do, if it had been a person of color. But I'm just looking at the fact
probably
that
went to jail. He probably went to jail. Stern probably put him in jail.
Well, only that is what I keep saying. I like Margarito. He's a very personable guy, but I said, you know, had he been Ducks, I've said it before. I mean, had he been a Don King fighter, there's no question that him and Don would have been from the sport. And the point that you just brought up, Hooster, that maybe. There would have been some jail time. Then I mean, I look at the Barry Bonds, where Bonds' trainer was incarcerated for the longest amount of time. I mean, they did everything they could, Tim. But you talked about that particular fish, and people understand. I said for the longest time that that. I talked about this the other day too, because they replay in football here, and I've said for the longest time, it didn't make sense for the whole world to see that the guy has stepped out of bounds or that the guy has scored the touchdown, and the guys on the field want that for this kind of plate or make the added adjustments to the fact that they implemented instant replay. And I said, if you weren't going to use it to and better the game, then I felt it was no need to show me 10 times that the guy stepped out of bounds, and the official said he didn't. And I have to take my hats off to the fact that NFL did. And Desio talked about the fact that maybe it's time for that to come to football over here. As this game against Corinthians, which is my favorite team, that them and Santos, there were three calls. He called back a goal that could have turned the game around, and he called a couple of penalties. And just really, though, as you guys know, the wrong call can change the whole course of a game for the season, and maybe sometimes Rooney, maybe sometimes a career.
Doc, this has been ridiculous. I mean, let's cut to the chase, okay? You have the technology to get the damn call right. Why not use it? The reason that they've been hesitant to use it over here in the States, for the most part, is they don't want to make the referees look bad. I mean, let's cut to the chase and tell it like it is. They don't want to make the refs look bad because they figure one or two out of every four or five calls, they're going to be wrong. And when they show it on that big jumbotron up on a replay, and they see that the refs are stopping play, see that the refs are stopping play to look at the replay and see that they have to reverse their call because they just got it wrong. I mean, they have the technology. They might as well use it. The bottom line is getting the call right, not bruising egos, not worried about hurting guys' feelings because they got the call wrong. The bottom line in this game, football, by the way, they're going to the instant replay in baseball next year, I understand. At least part of
the replay. They already got it in basketball
already. But the bottom line should be to get the damn call right. I don't care about booze, egos. I don't care about officials ticked off whether it makes them look bad on national TV. The bottom line should be getting the call right, and they have the technology to do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mel Kosell, a.k.a. Little Coco, leaving no stone, not caring about whose feelings that may be hurt. Let's get the call right. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network, live from Fort Lazy, Brazil. At this time, our sponsor, Sal E. Braza. Hey, it doesn't get any better. The top restaurant in Fort Lazy, Brazil. And it's Sabajada Justino's. Number one, the three-star, number best, as Desio said, the best three-star hotel in all of Brazil. Marina Park also gets a hit. And it's DCJ Productions. Billy Paul will be here. He'll be here. He's become Mr. Dia de Numerado. That's the Valentine's Day, June 12th. He'll do it. Desio's got him working hard. He's going to kick off in São Paulo, largest city in Brazil and South America. São Paulo is bigger than the country of Portugal, bigger than the country. And then the next day, Rio de Janeiro, the city that will be the first time ever hosting the Olympics by a South American team. Billy Paul, those, in fact, you know what, let's get a little commercial here for Billy. But as we told you, the big three sponsors are here. Sally Braz's restaurant, my man Luis Sosa, Luis Muto Abrogado, DCJ Productions, Desio Couto Macio Jr., number one promoter international in the world, but Brazil, and my man, just I'm saying it too, this time we're producing live from DCJ Production Studio, and the other portion we did the other day was live from Sabajada, the Sino Sabajada Hotel, and those are big three sponsors. We also want to also, our fourth sponsor, the Tony Nunes Show. Tony is a great friend, always a very funny guy. Has the number one TV show on Saturday at one time. Tony Nunes had the number one TV show in all of Fort Lauderdale. He beat out Global Television, and he's still on the rise again, one of the great TV stars and the great human beings. That's the big four. Tony Nunes TV show on Saturday and Fort Lauderdale. DCJ Productions, Sally Braza's restaurant, and the big two hotels, Marina Parque and Sabajada. And with that, we're going to do a little promo. This is my favorite. You know, everybody knows it's me and Mrs. Jones that put Billy on the map to sort of immortality in music here, in the music world. The song that I like the best over time is this one here. Billy, you know, a lot of people don't know that Billy was in the group Harold Melvin and Blue Notes, and it was Teddy Pendergrass, who was the drummer of the group, who replaced Billy. Harold felt that Billy didn't have the choreography or the rhythm needed to move and step with the Blue Notes. Billy, a former boxer himself, was supplanted by Teddy Pendergrass, who was then the drummer. I think the songs that Billy has made legendary are beyond reproach. Me and Mrs. Jones at the top of the list. Billy, that's coming back home. Am I Black Enough for You? Was another one, and I love the great one, This Is Your Life. It's really promised that he will eventually sing for me one day. But as you know, he'll be back here for the laser. He'll be here on the 14th, June, 2 days after Valentine's Day. Those 2 days put on the 12th will be that day he'll be in Rio de Janeiro. And the night before, night at midnight, we'll be off Valentine's Day in São Paulo, largest city in the Latin, first largest city in Brazil, a city by itself that's bigger than the country. Billy Paul, my good buddy, my good friend, back in Brazil, is placed on the 14th of June. Doc Kelly, Hot Dog Ready, under Trust and Garden Network. And with that, go back to our New York City and bring back in Mel and the incredible, the one and only. We're going to do Billy Paul in the back. Let's bring Dejo in here for a minute. In fact, Dejo, I'm going to go to the phone. We're going to do Prince one of the big teams of the we're still fans. We're getting cheated. What we talked about, we talked about so much about Fisher. And this Fisher was just, I mean, he wasn't bad. He was horrible. He took his call, took a goal away from us, put the call penalty on last bit. Fisher was joining today. Anybody else out there? 646-200-0373-88. Connie has got her way here. Nathan Facebook to join us. So with that, let's go ahead back to the New Club Studios. Okay, once again, viewers, listen. It's 646-200-0373. 646-200-0373. 0373, you want to call, you want to talk, you want to join us, you want to argue. In Brazil, in June, open it up. Rio de Janeiro, intelligent. Gentle. Hey, you want to talk to Sweet Science? The sweetest voice. The sweetest.
I'm glad
science.
You mentioned him, Sweet Science, Doc, because I have a major prediction that's going to absolutely blow folks away when they hear it.
Can you tell me you have Paulie Malignaggi beat Andrew Broner? Is that the prediction?
Oh no, this fight is way bigger than that, the good doctor. Although I want to see Paulie for two reasons. Number one, even though Paulie can't break an egg with his punching power, that's number one. Paulie can't break an egg, but he has a very good jab and he has a lot of heart. Paulie has a big heart. And this is the first time I'm seeing Broner fight anybody that has a heart that's still beating. So I want to see what that's going to be like. The guy's actually fighting a live body.
I tell you, you know, you talk about heart. And I remember something the Floyd Mayweather said. Never forget it. You know, Mayweather said something, I'll never forget it. He said, you know, heart can get you killed in this business. And so, you know, it's that thing that, you know, me and Dad were talking about the other day, how you don't want to ruffle another team's feathers by saying you're going to beat them. But you know, you're supposed to And the thing about Ali always did a lot of talking and jiving, but he could back it up. But I see Floyd's face right now. Floyd said, heart can get you killed in this business. So, you know,
I'm glad you mentioned Floyd, because that is one of the big blockbuster predictions that I'm going to make here.
Oh, God.
The incomparable. Are you ready for this prediction? I'm glad that you and the sports
You ruined it, Rooney, because Doc was trying to do the segue into me with Phil Collins, because you know that's my boy. And here you go, ruining it. All right, hello to all the Sports and Death Nation. I'm here. Rooney's here. Doc's here. That's all you need to know.
Ladies and gentlemen, the incomparable Lady A.
We're hoping that the DC baseball can be for a little while, too. Nate B, you here with
Doc?
What happened?
Doc, I have the man who will beat Floyd Mayweather.
Oh,
I have the man that will hand him his first loss.
Okay, who? Give it to us. Come on, Ronnie. Come with it.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yes.
Hey. Desio Cotamasio Jr. is here with us now. Desio, that you?
It's me.
Okay. We got Lady A.
Hey,
real quick.
Good night to everybody.
Hi,
okay.
How are you?
Desio,
it's a pleasure to be here one more time.
Let me just say this and get it out. You guys can chew on this and go on to your other topics. Alvarez will be the first guy to hand Floyd his first loss. Floyd Mayweather. And hand him his first check on his undefeated list.
Who's going to do this now?
Emilio Alvarez will be the first one. You know, just one that.
I think that. Hold on. I think Doc's making you repeat it because he's trying to say to you like, are you really serious?
I know that's what Doc is.
Are you serious? Doc's quiet on that one. Here you go. I don't know.
Opinions and thoughts expressed by those on the show are not definitely those of the producer. Okay, so we're safe now.
That's Hoopsta?
Yes. Yes.
Hey, baby, what's up?
Tell me, stranger. Okay.
How are you? I'm waiting for you to diss me and my Jets this season. It's all right. It's all good.
Well, you think you got a brother as a quarterback, thank God.
He's going to be the starting quarterback out my
prediction.
Oh,
no. I'm having spasms, right? Because the Rangers are definitely going to lose now. They're 3-0 in the hole. Like, every time Doc does these shows, it gets progressively worse for me. You know, I got guys on the Jets getting collared. Like, it just gets better and better. You know what I mean?
Everybody getting arrested for guns? I don't know. Carrying guns? I don't know. There's a John Wayne.
Oh, man. I don't know.
Well, if you have a couple of medical problems, Lady A, maybe you should follow the great Dr. Frankenstein. I hear that he's giving Sanchez a heart transplant. So, you know, you never know what's going on with him.
Oh,
surgery.
Boy, see?
Because he
needs
one.
Well, Cedric ain't there now. Don't do that to us. Cedric ain't there now. It'd be even.
This would be all over you, Jack.
Do you believe Lady A and Doc, he is actually going to be the starting quarterback again this year? They're going to blow him
out. No, I think this boy is doing pretty good in camp. So, got to give it up to him, Geno Smith. You got to give it up to him. He might be the starting quarterback. Don't be surprised.
Well, if they give him a play, they will.
They don't give him a play. They ain't drafting him for nothing now. He's going to be playing. Trust me. He's going to be out there.
You never know what the wacky Jets. They may give him the T-ball.
He's going to play. You better believe that. The fans will leave that
stadium. I'll believe it when I see
Well, at least he'll keep some of the butts in the seats for a little while. I mean, and you don't have to worry about calling the FDNY to the parking lots because they'll be burning his jersey. You know what I mean?
They'll be wearing his jersey. You believe that?
I'm talking about Sanchez, dude.
Oh.
Remember that? They were burning his jersey in the parking lot last season?
So many people burned Sanchez's jersey. I think they were starting a bonfire.
The only reason why they were burning the jersey is because they couldn't get him. If they get him, there won't be no more jersey burning.
Oh, man.
Whoa. Woo. Where's Cedric when you need him? Where's Cedric when you need him?
Everybody give me a minute here. But you know what? I'm upset that and I got to get to Big C. I think we got Nate Lee Baseball back in here. I got to get a hold of Big C. I need my name, but let's take a break.
Doc, C-Wings told me to reach out to you. Just let you know he's stuck on an assignment, so he's not going to be able to make it tonight.
Yeah. I know the assignment. He's already wiggling his way into game 3 and 4 at Western Conference. I know what kind of assignment he's on. He want to do basketball, so we're going to be beating him about those Jets. Real quickly, gang, let's go back to Fortaleza, Brazil. Fox Stanley, Fox Talk Radio on the Trust and Darkness Network, live from Fortaleza, Brazil. CI, the capital city. Fortaleza is the capital city in the city. But let's go to the man who will bring us the folks, who will bring us Billy Paul back to Brazil. He'll be bringing us to Billy Paul for the commercial real quickly, not only for Billy Paul, but also for sponsors. The big three today, the big four, that's on all of us, Sally Braza and Shapiro's, along with DCJ Productions. Yes, because of my show. Billy Paul's coming back to town, but before Billy comes back to town, very happy. Santos couldn't do it. Once again, Corinthians, the Paulista champion, correct?
Yes. Corinthians still also the world champion for this year until December. We beat Chelsea last year in December. And, we unfortunately cannot play again in a final game for the world championship clubs, world championship, because the referee from Paraguay take us, as a fool. And now he's under investigation international-wise. So, but anyway, God is always good. We win the Paulista Championship against the Neymar team, so one of the best players in the world. So,
can we go back real quick before I got you? But I was really upset. I think everybody knows that this is where I'll be living in the near future. I've adopted, and they've adopted me. I was irate. I was stunned that Ronaldinho, Kaká, and I can't think of another third player that they didn't put on the Brazilian national team. I mean, the coach here, what is he doing? I mean, he's got Neymar, okay, it's understandable, but not to have Ronaldinho and Kaká. I mean, what is this guy thinking? To be honest with you, I'm not even interested in watching the games. How could he not put two? I mean, and then we had this Mother's Day with Ronaldinho, whose mother was suffering from cancer, and all the players had their mother's name on the back of the jerseys. There he was with his beloved mother. I mean, Dejo, I don't understand. I think it was a slap in the face. I think this guy is horrible. How could he not have Kaká and Ronaldinho not on his team? Explain that to me. Can you? Can that be explained?
Yeah, I think he make a big mistake for the Confederation Cup, but what we heard from is he try to make some experience, because have a lot of new players, and he can lose with the Confederation Cup in Brazil. Will be bad. We 3 times already the Confederation Cup. But it will be worse if he loses the World Cup. So I disagree with his rules, or what he think. Maybe he tried to be or a prima donna, or try to mark this new generation and make sure people knows don't need it no more, Ronaldinho or Kaká. But if it don't works on a Confederation Cup, he will be in bad position, maybe lose his job, or at minimum he have to put in a Brazilian national team Ronaldinho and Kaká. So also the goalkeeper, one of those goalkeepers, people complain.
The goalkeeper from Santos, who was picked as the number one goalkeeper in football around here. I think the two best are from Santos and São Paulo. But the guy from Santos, I mean, he just really elevated the champion. He's the best I've seen of the elite goalkeepers. And I just understand, here I am, a guy who's just getting into the game. I could see how elite these players were. And for him to not put these players on the team. Billy Paul. We got Billy Paul's going to at the BB Club here on the 14th of June, correct?
Exactly. 14th of June, 11, Billy Paul will be performing at Bourbon Street Music Club in São Paulo, Brazil, On 12, he will be at the Barra Music in Rio de Janeiro. And 14 here at the BNB Club in Fortaleza. 15 at a shopping called Iguatemi in Brasília. And 18 in Goiânia at a shopping called Flamboyant.
No, there he is, the legendary Billy Paul. There's more of him than me, Mrs. Jones. He'll be back. He's definitely black enough for us. Desio, you can hang with us. I know you may have to run, so if you got to leave, we're here. We're glad to have you. Last question, is there a chance, because of the Corinthians situation, the referee, I think right now they're not going to do anything in the sense of make the game be replayed. So for all intents and purposes, Corinthians has lost. I mean, they won't get a chance to be the world champion again. Has there ever been a time, though, where they did make a game that was so badly officiated replayed?
I don't know. Maybe I have won all history time, but I don't remember. Yeah, of course, we want to do that, but they say no. So it's a thing to learn from American football. When the referees make a mistake, you can watch on a big screen, because we have a big screen now, you know, every stadium, and they can double-check. We have it in our favor, we have two penalties. He never did. Also, one goal, he canceled his goal. It was not offside, so it was three big mistakes. It was so badly, then make it, Argentina media call him the Mano de Amarilla, is the last name for the referee, because the guy take the ball, use his hands as a volleyball. Everybody see without him. So I think Stevie Wonder can be a better referee than him in that game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You didn't have to go there, Desi. Desi, real quickly before you go, could you give us a sponsor? We've got Solid Browsers, we've got DCJ Productions, we've got the Tabajara, and we've also got Marina Park. Anybody else we should mention of the sponsors? This week's season for Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Radio, live from Fortaleza, Bill Sports in Depth. This week's sponsors, once again, from Brazil, here they are. They should go to Massimo. We will tell you who they are.
Okay. We have Agnaldo Car Dealers, and, of course, God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, so I want to say good night for everyone. It's a pleasure to be here one more time. And however, my special hug to my people at the Pilgrim Baptist Church in Harlem. Good night, everyone.
Night.
Good night.
Boy, Desio, you know what I'm saying, boy? Nobody gets a bigger plug than that church. We keep losing Nate B. Baseball, so next time he comes in, I got to make sure we plug in here. Lady A, you know, Rooney, you know, we overlook Rooney sometimes. Yeah,
We gotta give Rooney some time to wake out of his slumber, because he's saying Alvarez is gonna be Mayweather. So I gotta, you know.
Yeah, we gotta get over that one. I probably need a psychologist for that one. That's your shrink on that one.
Once again, ready Rooney? No, Rooney, ready Rooney? This is it's gonna be the fight of the year. Ready?
Well, that's kidding. It could be. Oh, you know,
when is I gonna see a psychologist? Where we lose this fight?
I am telling you guys right now, as you hear me speak.
Rooney, slow down. My man barely beat Trout. Okay, you telling me he's gonna be Mayweather?
That's okay.
Yeah,
I'm gonna see that happened.
Yeah, I know something. You're right. He almost lost that fight, and a lot of people said that he did lose it, or at the very least should have gotten the draw. You're right, lady. You are absolutely right, and I agree.
Thank you.
Hold on.
We'll get back to you in a minute. But Nate B. Baseball. Nate B., how you been? Oh, we lost him again. Okay, he'll be back again. Want to get Nate? We had Nate B. Baseball said he's trying to join us. Hey, Lady A, I catch you sort of weekend fights. I Danny Garcia's got to be a little worried about this guy. 34
worried.
Knockouts and 36 fights.
You said worried? He has to be more than worried. Let me tell you something. Once he gets hit by this guy, forget about it, man. He's gonna be out there trying to find a fight with Adrian Broner, who's fighting cab drivers. Stop.
Really?
You crazy? Come on. He just hit one shot by Lucas Matisse? Come on. This guy, he's on fire. Matisse?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, just the whole – Matisse is on fire. And Danny Garcia, I'll tell you this, he better be working behind the sidelines with his father, because when he steps in that ring, Matisse is the real deal.
Yeah.
We had this conversation off air, lady. Yeah.
And he knows that I feel that Matisse is going to absolutely destroy Danny Garcia by knockout.
I'm telling you, he better come ready to fight. You know, I'm going to tell you this. Here's the thing that got me going too, Doc, which I don't know if you saw, like.
Hold on, lady. Because we got Nate B. Baseball is coming in real quick. He's having trouble. Nate B., say hello to everybody, Nate.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, everyone, hear me all right? You, Nate?
Yeah, basically. How's everyone doing?
Nate B. Nate, now, what's your feelings here? We talked a little bit. Yankees, Red Sox. Is Derek Jeter coming back this year, or is he done?
I don't know if he's coming back this year, but I definitely don't think he's done. You and I have talked, you know, a bunch of times. He's one of these guys that always surprises. I mean, he's got that ability to always surprise. I mean, like the last 4 or 5 years, people have said, is he done at shortstop? Is he, he's had a slow start, has had some slow years, but he always comes back and surprises. And I think he'll be like Rivera in that he's, you know, of course he's going to, you know, want to go out on top, so to speak. So, I think he'll be coming back. I just, you know, no one knows when, or I don't know when.
I'm in Boston. What's the word? How are things going up there? In the post Bobby Valentine era, are they surviving?
Well, I think the fans have turned against the team. As far as the ownership and the whole thing, I think it's soured. Going back to the Valentine hire and then after. So they really need to win quickly to change this around. I mean, they used to have all, you know, that sellout streak and all that. And then starting last year, the sellouts were kind of a fraud because, you know, they were sort of giving tickets away and stuff. So even though they won 2 championships with this ownership, it looks like the fans have kind of turned against them, so to speak.
I'm only hearing that it's a matter of days, Nate, before Mattingly is released of his stewardship.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I mean, wow, that team's been a real real disappointment. I mean, all those players, it seems like almost all the bad vibes and energy from Boston got sent over to Los Angeles. You know, so it'll be interesting to see what shakes up there. I mean, my big thing has always been Magic Johnson. I mean, I don't know what his day-to-day involvement is or anything like that, but, I mean, everything he's involved with seems to turn to gold. So I'm waiting for the Dodgers to turn to gold, but I guess it's going to be a little bit longer than I would have thought.
Doc, can I ask Nate B a question?
Yeah, go ahead. You got it?
Yeah, Nate, how you doing? It's Lady A.
Good.
Just a quick question. I'm interested in your perspective. I mean, the cover of Sports Illustrated had Matt Harvey from the New York Mets on the cover. And do you think he's all hype, or do you really think that this season he's going to turn it up for the New York Mets?
I don't know. I always think it's too small of a sample size. I mean, that's my feeling. I mean, how many pitchers have, one, too small of a sample size, and other – there's another issue of durability. I mean, look, my Pirates have, Liriano pitching tonight, who, you know, was lights out, you know, with the Twins for that stretch there, like, about 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had injuries, and, you know, now the Pirates got him for cheap, and you know, he's you know, been finally being able to get back in Major League Baseball, but I just think the X factor with pitchers is durability.
Right.
I mean, among other things, but I mean, it's just impossible. But I think after a couple years, we really see if the pitcher has the durability or not. I mean, a lot of the pitchers that, what, like Kerry Wood or these pitchers that look like they could go on to have Hall of Fame careers, you know, have these injuries somewhat early in their career. And I don't know. I mean, that's my view of it. It's just a sample size.
Right.
So it'd be interesting to see. And but I mean, I don't know other than that. Oh, but I do have to give a shout out to my Pittsburgh Pirates, who are only two games out of first place, and it's pretty late in the year for the Pirates to be playing that good baseball. So I'm pretty excited about that.
It's not even June, you said, but it's pretty late.
Yeah, for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Yeah, this is you know, I mean, that's the difference between the Pirates and the Yankees or Boston. I mean, the Pirates are nine games over 500, and the fans are thrilled.
Hey, Doc, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Hoops, you get him.
Hey, this is Hoops. How you doing there? What do you do about the Cleveland Indians this year?
How's everything going?
Okay, what do you do about the Cleveland Indians this year?
Well, I mean, that's another interesting thing. I think they've got, you know, it seems like they've got one of the best front offices.
Yeah.
They are one of the better front offices in baseball, but they have, you know, a low payroll every year. So, I don't know. They've got the advantage of what I think is a weak division. I mean, the AL Central. But in sort of like the Pirates, I mean, in last year, I mean, it's a long season. Last year, the Indians, you know, had a strong push and then fell apart, just like my Pirates did. And I my gut feeling just goes with the Detroit Tigers in that division.
Yeah.
And I just don't know that the Indians can get one of the wild cards with so many other good teams in the American League. That's my point of view. I just don't see the Indians doing this for, you know, like if we talk again in September or even August, I'm just not confident that they can keep this play up the whole time.
Well, you
got to
give Terry Francona some credit over there. He's doing a hell of a job over there with the Indians.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, just...
He was a Red Sox manager, right?
Yeah. He won two World Series, and look what one bad month in September, and they got rid of him. So, and he's a Pittsburgh guy originally, but he had success in Boston, and he's having success again. I think it's sometimes just letting players play and letting the talent take hold. I mean, being Bobby Valentine and not trying to, be the center of attention and all that.
You're going to need security.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, it's an interesting baseball season. I don't think there's any the thing that's interesting to me is I don't think there's any juggernauts. I mean, I think now, I mean, if you look at the amount of teams that could possibly win the World Series, I mean, you could throw – I mean, there's a lot of teams, you know, that could legitimately contend because there's
the Yankees aren't getting any younger, that's for sure, so they're going to have to
figure out what they Girardi's doing a good job what he got. Doing a good job what he got right now.
Oh, totally. I think the Yankees disabled list.
You bring up a good point. I mean, because, you know, I've always said that, you know, there always seems to be an anti-New York sentiment when it comes to MGR of the year and MVP awards. And Strawberry should have won the year that Kirk Gibson got it. I thought DeRozan, somewhere in the last 3 or 4 years, he should have snatched the award. You know, if you do well here, you're supposed to do. And if you don't do well, in spite of things not being in a good set of stature, you know, they just jump on you. I never get David Getty and Don Mattingly, the New York media, but I thought Girardi has done a tremendous job. I thought a couple of years ago, you know, this team, the Yankees have been an old team for a long time.
A long time, and, Doc. Yep, yeah. A long time. Yep.
I mean, a long time. They've been an old team for a long time. Maybe based on a tremendous point, you know, Derek Chanis and Jeter, I've always said, I told Derek, I said it to his straight behind his back, he was number two because of Afro. He's second to none as a player and a person. He was everything Joe DiMaggio to be, everything Mickey Mantle wasn't. That's a real-life American hero. But, you know, that team has overcome a lot. Girardi has done a tremendous job. I mean, the manager is only as good as the players, but my thing, the manager is, they don't win games, they lose them. So for him to win that many games, he didn't lose a lot of games. But he's done a tremendous job. I mean, it's sad and touching that we have African-American president and that the Yankees are thinking about a black manager more, better still, you know, the Yankees don't have anybody African American wise in the others of merit anymore. Well, they have Hockey. I think he's a bullpen coach and stuff like that.
Well, Doc, didn't you tell me at one time Chris Chambliss was on the first base on the first baseline?
Chris Chambliss is to date still. Chris Chambliss to date. I talked to him the other day.
As far as like being a manager, you were saying like.
Chris is getting ready to retire. I can't understand how a Chris Chambliss retires without the opportunity to manage, and Willie Randolph has only had one shot when the likes of Bobby Valentine continues to get jobs. You know, I mean, people have forgotten, you know, it went under the radar, but Walt Weiss last year came from high school. There wasn't a black manager, a black guy that could have managed the team. You had to take a guy from high school?
Willie Randolph couldn't.
Or impressive. Chris Chambliss has top rate. Chris Chambliss to date is the only batting champion ever fired from a world championship team, and he happens to be black. Oh, my goodness.
The Yankees have historically been, you know, behind the curve, I mean, especially, you know, on this. I mean, going back, you know, 50 years, you know, slow to get a black player, you know, all the way down the line, you know. You know, they've been
as many people that, like, you know, when you have something like that, and sometimes you have overt acts that are kind of blatant, you know, I think after a while, I mean, people are going to see it, number one. And number two, you know, it just comes a time where some things are just due. They're just due to happen, you know. So, you know, you never know which way the ball is going to bounce, you know. So I think that Major League Baseball, too, has seen a lot of things. Like with the transition, you got a lot more Latin players. I don't think the biggest thing now when I look at these rosters, I'm like, where are the African-American ball players? You know, you're seeing so many Latin players from my country, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, you know, and it's like, you know, and Venezuela, you know, and Colombia, and you're like, you have a lot more Latin players, I think, in Major League Baseball now than you had, you know, years ago, Doc. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that the lack of the African-American players is where the focus and attention needs to be at also, because now when you have less of that pool, for future reasons, you have less candidates now that you can actually put in those positions when you don't have the players at that level, at the rudimentary level, that can now form those bonds and make those positions accessible to them in the future. You understand what I'm saying, Doc? So I think that those two things kind of correlate together. And I think that that's sort of where the problem, the underlying factor is.
Totally. I think right now the amount of African Americans Major League Baseball is at one of the lowest levels since sometime shortly after Jackie Robinson entered the major leagues, since like some point in the 50s. I forget
and
exactly.
And I think excuse me for interjecting, but I just think that a lot of it also has to do with the fact that, you know, more African American kids are playing either football or basketball, where like they're not really entering into like the baseball leagues. Like
they're not '88. They don't play baseball like they used to.
No,
I think the number of African American professional ball players in the major leagues are easily less than 10%. And like you said, they're going into other things. People who have that kind of skill level are playing pro football, pro basketball, sports like that. That's that's where they're going. Less than 10% of African American ball players in the major leagues. And one of the reasons is it takes a lot more to play baseball. You know, you got to have the ball, the glove, the bat, other people playing. Whereas you can go to just take the ball and go to the park and shoot some hoops.
Right.
Yeah.
You got two guys who can play at least catch with football.
Baseball
takes a lot more, you know, to play it.
Right.
Yeah.
It just kind of opens the door, I think, for a lot of other things that I think that people kind of got to look at, too, because it's like if you don't have it at the rudimentary, the fundamental level, you know, then later on when those positions are open, who are you pooling from for those positions, you know? Like where are our candidates for those positions? You know, I just think that, you know, it all starts at the fundamental level, you know?
Right.
And if we don't have those, if we don't have those people out there, then, you know, how can you, you know, then move on 10, 20 years from now and say, oh, well, you know, I think it kind of minimizes, you know, the ability for them to move up and then possibly get those spots. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When you talk about baseball, you talk about a sport, you know, the hypocrisy of baseball. You know, the big thing is Dr. Stanley, Blog Talk Radio, on the Touchdown Garden Network, live from Fortaleza, Brazil. We've got we're not even to the 1 hour. We've got a solid half hour left for you. Now, when you look up about baseball, the hypocrisy of not putting Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. And here's baseball was founded on him. And then you turn around and you look at Ty Cobb, Tyrese Raymond Cobb, still high lifetime batting average. When he retired from baseball, he won a Triple Crown. Ty Cobb had the most batting titles, the most hits. Ty Cobb was the first guy in the Hall of Fame. But here's a guy who was a known member of the Ku Klux Klan. Nobody liked Ty Cobb. I mean, the MVP award was going to be given to the best hitter. And you know, they plotted, I believe it was Wee Willie Keller, they set it up that the third baseman on the team that he was playing against that day would play back so deep. Wee Willie Keller, if I'm correct, they went 8-8 that day of bunch. 8-8 and beat Cobb out for the title. They gave both guys the cup. But what I'm saying is, you do this on merit in any situation. Pete Rose belongs in the Hall of Fame off merit, okay? Here's Cobb, who was a known member of the Klan, a known member of the Ku Klux Klan, and he was the first, not Babe Ruth, not Christian Matheson, Cobb was the first guy in the Hall of Fame. Here's that had a rule that, you know, you would, a gentleman's agreement, that you wouldn't have black players. Okay, here's a sport today. And I remember telling Ken Griffey Jr. this about 20 years ago. I said, you know, there are less black players in baseball today than there was 10 years before. And it's still. I mean, if you look on the Yankees, where you got CeCe and I think it's Jeter. I mean, you look at the a few years back. First base with Chandler, second base with Willie Randolph, Andre Roberts, stop, Rafael Santana, shortstop. Guy in the infield was Settles behind the plate, where you also had Thurman in your head. The outfield was all black. Reggie Jackson in right.
Mickey Rivers. Quick
in center field. Roy White.
Roy White.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at, I mean, it's, but the thing is, when we feel, we somehow never get a chance. In the World Series this year, you had anybody, what a great manager Jim Leland is. Jim Leland never played in the major leagues. Never played in the major leagues. And the opposing manager was a lifetime 239 hitter. I mean, the reality is, how can I tell Nate Lee how to pull the ball to left field when you're a 210 hitter? But as Dusty Baker said, you know, guys hire their friends who they want to. And this big thing about the lack of black players and all of this is a story that runs for two and it's gone. Because, I mean, you look at how
Doc,
did
you're
nobody,
breaking up, Doc. You're breaking up, Doc.
Okay, I said, how did nobody, when Barry Bonds was a free agent, there were certain teams that, I mean, Barry told me at the end comes that he couldn't take. And that at the end of his career, you mean to tell me, no, Eddie Murray called me and told me when we were talking, Eddie Murray said that Phil and Tampa was tailor-made for Barry Bonds. If they had sent Barry down there as a DH, Barry would have hit, would have got 800. They'd have won the World Series. I mean, how do you call a Barry Bonds and vote in first Hall of Famer Ty Cobb? Easy. It's all about black and white. The game of baseball is always about black and white. You know, it's amazing. You never hear about the hate mail that Jeter was getting over the course of the years. And then you dog A-Rod steroid thing. They act like that. Alex Rodriguez is the only guy that ever took steroids. The only guy to ever take steroids. They wanted to know, I mean, when he admitted to him, they wanted to know, when did he take them? He's the only guy that ever took steroids. When the list came out, 102 names on the list, it was so amazing that the only names leaked happened to be Big Poppy, Alex Rodriguez, and Manny
so
Ramirez.
Doc, so, Doc, Paul, so Doc. Let me ask you this. So what do you think's the answer?
Well, definitely in America, there's never, ever going to be an answer because America will never have an answer.
No, I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about in baseball, what is the answer? What is the answer? I mean, we can see it. How do we get more? How do we get more African American ball players to play baseball?
Well, because first of all, as Marion Boykin told me years ago, they are systematically deleting African Americans out of the baseball. I mean, they're telling you that the kids rather play basketball, officer says, or football. But what they're doing, they're systematically not picking. They're taking a guy that's an elite shortstop, and you get an elite shortstop, a guy that can hit and run a shortstop, he's a superstar. You put him in the outfield. So now he goes from one of the two best players at that position into a mix with maybe 20.
But Doc, my question was, how do you fix it?
I'm trying to tell you, it will never get fixed. It can't be fixed. It won't be fixed because the powers that be are them. They're the managers. They're the guys who have the money. Now they'll come to you and tell you, like nowadays, you know, when a minority goes to a job, you're overqualified. I don't understand it. It's $15.37. I put a $20 bill down. You said it's too much money. It's not going. I'm going to tell you what Bill White told me when Bill White resigned from baseball as the National League president. And this is what Bill White said. Answer. And I remember I was walking with Bill and I said, "What happened?" Bill said, "They're not going to change. Okay, they're not going to change. And since they are not going to change, my lovely one, nothing's going to change either." In the conversation, is that simple? It's like Michael Jordan. I mean, how come Michael Jordan couldn't buy into the Knicks? How come Jordan couldn't buy into the Celtics? How come buy into the Lakers? You always buy into a half-ass team. You know what I mean? I remember Craig told me, you know, when a black manager or Latin manager gets a job, it's always a half-ass team. He said, "Give me a team with a chance." Look at Girardi. Here's a who had a half-ass team and won Manager of the Year. And now he's the manager of the Yankees. It won't happen for Willie Randolph. It never happened for Chris Chambliss. I mean,
Dusty Baker went. Dusty Baker makes it.
Yeah, well, you're talking about the exception, not the rule. You're talking about the exception,
what about,
not the rule.
What about what's his name for the other team? Was it Washington?
Who's that?
Frank Robinson?
But you're
giving me two names because for every Frank Robinson I can name a Girardi, a Joe Torre, a Casey Stengel. Okay? Yeah, Don Mattingly. Okay, so for every black manager I can give you 5 or 10. I mean, the opportunity, and then the thing, you want the opportunity, not only do you want the opportunity to manage, but you want to manage a good team. How many black managers have been given a good, Dusty was lucky that he was there, Fulton Frisco liked him, he got the opportunity. How many other black managers have, even Willie was good in the position, he had a good team. I mean, he had a better team than Hal McCray had, he had a better team than Frank Robinson had with the Cleveland Indians. You know, Robinson finally got a good team. And look at Frank Robinson. He won the Montreal Expos. But the opportunity, I mean, they're not going to change. Is that
simple? Don't forget before Joe Torre came to the Yankees and became this Hall of Fame manager, his nickname was Clueless Joe.
Yeah. And then if you look before him, there was Lou Piniella, who managed. Okay, yeah. Buck Showalter was there. Stump Mitchell. Huh? I heard a story that Herman Franks had a group of people years ago that was going to buy the Yankees. Willie Mays was the manager. The deal fell through. I mean, could you Willie Mays, the player manager of the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, playing in the same outfield as his idol, Joe DiMaggio, which meant the three of the greatest center fielders ever in this game, Joseph Paul DiMaggio, Mickey Charles Mantle, and Willie Howard Mays would have all played center field in Yankee Stadium. It's in the words of our beloved Harold Wesson, it's sad and it's touching, but as Bill White said, they're not going to change. It's America, baseball, apple pie. They all go hand in hand, and it's not going to change. And it's just the way it is. I mean, Barry talked about,
I heard some people saying some things about Barry. That was just like, I mean, how do you say those kind of things? I mean, Barry had the same attitude, supposedly, that Cobb had. Matt Williams once told me that, you know, Barry gets a bad rap. You know, Barry gets a bad rap about a lot of things. I mean, there are other guys who, you know, do things, say things. I mean, yeah, my thing is this, you know, an athlete is paid to play the game. He's not paid to sign autographs, which is part of the deal. He's not paid to hang out with the people. He's paid to play the game. I understand, I've said this for the longest time, if Ali has time for autographs and photos, everybody else should. He's the greatest. But you pay an athlete to perform. Everything else is the residue of the residue. But I
A lot of boxers are like that, Doc. They're good like that.
Oh, well, the boxers are the best of all.
I love my boxers. You know me, Doc. I love my boxers. Sorry.
Oh, well, they're the best. Charles Barkley said, we're not role models, but you are. But you are role models, you know?
No, boxers, I love those. I love them.
Yeah, but the bottom line is...
I'm more Mark Breland, Doc. I'm more boy Mark Breland. He always stops and talks to us. You know, love boxers.
I talked to Mark the other day. Mark
that's all boy, man.
Shout out,
that's
hello
Mark.
He didn't ask about me, Doc.
Yeah, he always, everybody asks, everybody thinks we're married, you know, first thing, but nobody says hello. Nobody says hi to you once you're around. Anytime I go someplace, the first thing, where's the lady at? Hi to the brother first, you know what I mean?
You know, Doc, you know that's my man right there. You know, Mark is homeboy, right, Hoopsta? He's a man.
You're definitely homeboy, definitely.
Mark Freeland is part of our birthday salute for this month. You know, he had the birthday on the 11th. Today we salute the tomorrow we salute the birthday of Jamie Harrison, Anthony Amu, yesterday Mike Bellamy from Big Cap Sports, the 13th.
Oh, how's Mike doing?
Doc?
How's Mike doing?
Mike's doing okay. Mike is going to be going.
How's Crystal? Her family? How's Crystal?
Oh,
Crystal Hart.
In fact, tomorrow.
Doc, you breaking up? Hello.
I said tomorrow night. Everybody knows.
Lady A, you're going to be sure to tell your boy Floyd that one of your broadcast colleagues thinks he's going to get knocked out.
Oh, when I see him, I let him know.
He probably laugh. He probably tell you call him himself.
I let him know. That's all, man.
Lady A, give him the number. Call him personally.
Let me tell you something. With all due respect, if I was 40 and old and getting about $30, $35 million a fight, I'd laugh at somebody predicting my loss, too.
Listen, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you the fight to watch. I'm going to tell you the fight to watch now. I'm going to tell you the fight to watch. Watch out for that Matisse-Garcia fight, and watch out for the Josecito Lopez-Marcos Maidana fight on the 8th. That's going to be fireworks. Whatever you do, do not blink when you watch that fight. I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah,
it's
going to
be fireworks.
Matisse is going to knock Garcia out. I'm pretty sure of that.
Matisse is on fire.
Matisse ain't no joke. Yeah.
Let me tell you, he's on fire.
He's a fast hands, too. He's quick.
Did you guys see Richard Schaefer jumping in the middle of the ring talking about, this is the next Pacquiao? He's all excited because now Golden Boy's making money off of that guy.
Definitely.
Everybody's fighting to see that guy.
He's a legitimate tough guy that can fight and he can punch. Not like Adrian Broner beating up cab drivers every other month.
Oh, my goodness. You think that Paulie's going to be Broner?
No. Well, you know something? That fight is very intriguing for a very simple reason. Like I was speaking to you off air, Lady A. I don't think Paulie can break an egg. I really don't. I don't think he can break an egg with his body.
Paulie's been called a pillow puncher before.
He has a very good jab, and he has a ton of heart. And he's a live body, something that Broner, I don't think, has faced since he's been fighting. He has a lot of heart, he has a live body, and a decent jab.
I said it before, Rooney. I told you before. He got his jaw cracked by Cotto, and his shoulder was broken, you know. So, listen, and he stayed in the ring and stayed fighting. Were you at that fight, Hoopster? You saw his face, right?
Yeah.
I mean, his jaw was broken.
That shows how much heart Paulie has.
Paulie's had his hand broke. I remember when I was in Star City Boxing Gym and I was working out and I saw Paulie. Paulie's had his hands broken like five times, just one hand alone. So, you know, the kid, he's going to stay in that ring. You're not going to take him out of there. He's going to stay in the ring. So, Broner better come ready to fight. But, you know, Broner's just a lot quicker. He's just a lot quicker. Remember, he's got to go up in weight. So, we'll see what happens. I mean, will he lose some of his speed, 7 pounds?
I think so.
You know?
Well, at this age, in 7 pounds, he doesn't lose his speed. I mean, he's younger. Because you look back in this game, Pepino Cuevas, Marvin Hagler, stay at weight. Now, Bernard, I too just, and so most guys, you know, when you come on the scene at 126 and you're 19, he went from 126, 140. You're going to come up one or two weight classes.
Well, he fought Aaron Pryor. They fought at what, Doc? 130, right?
No, 140.
140. Right, when he fought Aaron Pryor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, because he won the feather, he won the light, he won the junior light. He won, because you're going to grow out of a certain weight. That a lot of times you get a guy down at a certain weight, you realize that a year or two, he's grown out 126, he's grown out of 130. So very few. So in Broder's case, he's not going to lose the speed. And most guys do not lose the speed. What guys do lose is to a certain degree the punching power. The only two guys that I saw who never lost their punching power was the immortals, Tommy Hearns and Duran. They're the only two. I remember when
Duran came in
as a wolf.
Yeah, but Doc, you bringing up Hearns now. Remember too. I mean, Hearns had his times too when guys stepped in there and shocked the hell out of him. You know, your man Aran Barkley. I mean, nobody anticipated Aran Barkley to beat him, and he stepped in and he did his work on him. So,
I'm glad you mentioned that. Now, anybody have the latest word on the Blade? The Blade had a heart attack last week. Was in the hospital.
Yeah, you said he was in St. Luke's. I haven't heard anything. Yeah, you say he was in St. Luke's. I haven't heard anything about that.
And I talked about that Sunday. How sad and touchy. Here's a guy who was one outstanding champion. You know, here's a guy that, to me, no question, would have beat Vernon Hopkins. No question. He's the only guy that ever beat Tommy Hearns both ways. Not stop Tommy and beat him by decision.
Twice.
Nobody
twice.
Can say that.
Yeah.
Twice, brother.
Right.
Twice.
Right.
I ran into him in the theater. He got in contact with Doc the next day. Surely did.
Yeah. Well, not only that, the hoops, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it was Aran Barkley who said, hey, wait a minute, no. My man, you're not getting no 33 and 30%. That's out. I'm doing the fight. No. Hey, we're going to lose it. I'll give you 20, but you're not. And it was his move that led Tyson doing the same thing, that him and Mike were the two guys that told the man, no. 33 and 30% is out. Too much. I'm going to give you something, but it ain't 33 and 30%.
Listen, what the odds were for that fight and with him and Hearns? Come on. He said the only two people in the building that thought I was gonna beat Hearns was my mama and me. the only two people that thought I was gonna beat Hearns was my mama and me. That's what he said. Come on, nobody.
And listen, about the seventh round when Tommy was pounding Mama's gonna say Mama is gonna knock you out. I think Mama made a lean toward Tommy too, but
Hey, Doc, that's like when Mrs. Lewis turned to us and said, in that brutal war that he had with Ray Mercer at the Garden, when Mrs. Lewis, Lennox's mom, turned to us with tears in her eyes and said, do you think he's ahead? I felt so bad for that woman. I just didn't, you know.
You know, I think about that, too, when we talk about the Blade, because in the Trucks and Guards Sports and Death Entertainment Artifacts Offering, Blade gave us a pair of the trunks that are there, along with a pair of the late Hector Camacho, late Billy Costello, my man, Roy Jones, Jr.
You don't
Blade
need any of that stuff, Doc. You could pass it on to me. You don't need any of that stuff.
Hey, listen, don't worry. Hey, it's got to go somewhere. I just want to, Nate, you got Nate B. Baseball here that I was talking to Smithsonian. They were saying they wanted 3D audio. I was talking to my man Steve Glazer earlier today. And some of the baseball stuff, I mean, we got, game use bats. And the thing that I tried to do was also get the actual, the game use bats, Barry Bonds.
But my first bat was Jim Rice, and the people understand that. I mean, I know Nate beat baseball does a bit of that Boston area, but he was such a Nate. I never understood why it took 15 years for him to get into the Hall of Fame. I'm just befuddled. Here's a guy who had the most home runs, the most RBIs of his era, the only guy in baseball history, the 20th century, the only right-handed batter, only African American batter. Okay, him and Lou Gehrig are the only guys in the 20th century to have three straight years of a 300 batting average, 100 scored runs, 100 RBIs, 200 hits, okay, 12, 20 odd doubles, and 40 home runs. And it took 15 years to get into the Hall of Fame. I'm befuddled by it. Befuddled.
Crazy.
I thought Nate. Nate Crazy. B. No, he is still with us, but hold on. I got him on the mute. Let me get Nate B off here. I'm sorry, Nate B. My apologies.
I mean, in Jim Rice's his era wasn't exactly, you know, like the Joe DiMaggio era or the, you know, Mark McGwire, you know, 1990s era. You know, it wasn't like the offensive numbers were flying during Jim Rice's time. You know, so those numbers are even more impressive. Also, I don't understand how someone isn't a Hall of Famer 2 years after they retire, yet they're a Hall of Famer 15 years after they retire, yet they haven't added to their numbers or nothing's changed, you know, in their career, you know, in their retirement. I mean, I think it's crazy to make these players wait. And, you know, it's just all some game that I don't quite understand with the sports writers.
Well, you hit it on the head, because the thing is supposedly there was a reevaluation of Jim Rice. Because when the steroids era came about, they said, well, here's a guy who did – and you talk about Joe DiMaggio. He was the first guy to have over 400 bases in 1 year since Jody had one of his great years. And so there was a reevaluation of Jim Rice, who supposedly was another guy that wasn't very media-friendly. But I'm not befuddled by it, because Jody wasn't media-friendly. George Brett
right.
wasn't media friendly. Mickey Mantle wasn't media friendly. And all three of those guys, the first ballot. Well, actually, you know, Joe DiMaggio was not a first ballot Hall of Famer. People don't know that. Joseph Paul DiMaggio, my buddy, was not a ballot Hall of Famer. But still, I mean, he was a lot to get into the Hall of Fame. Jim Rice is sort of the Jackie Robinson, because there's only three players who got into baseball on their last year of eligibility. But Red Ruffing was the first and picked it for the Yankees. I was stunned to find that Ralph Kiner, who led the league in home runs 7 straight years, not 2, not 3, 7 straight years he led the league in home runs. He got on his last year of eligibility, and Jim Rice became the first African-American to get into the Hall of Fame on his last year of eligibility. So, and Rice was, people don't talk about how when the Red Sox played the Reds that year, that Rice wasn't there. That might have been a whole different World Series had Jim Rice been in left field. And it's something that's never talked about. Like in 62, they really don't talk about the fact that Juan Marichal didn't pitch in that 7-game World Series against the Yankees, which would have been a real, real big difference. Marichal, 243 wins, 244 complete games, and winning Latin pitcher history of baseball until supplanted by Dennis Martinez, who was a one-hitter in his major league debut. So you talk about Jim Rice, great player, great Boston Red Sox. One of the few guys that got a job. He was the batting coach for the longest time for the Red Sox. But I knew Nate B. Baseball. I want to talk a little bit about the great Jim Rice. And a Hall of Famer, finally. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. And again, I mean, it's another, you know, Boston. And I think it, maybe look where, you know, he played in that Boston, the Boston organization and its surroundings, you know, were, you know, the last, you know, as far as to embrace the African-American player. So I wonder how that played out and him getting into the Hall of Fame as far as.
Well, I'm not going to make any comments about Boston, because they're going to beat the Rangers, and I have nothing to say about them.
Okay, yeah. But I mean, like, so I think when a player gets into the Hall of Fame, a lot of the times there's got to be, you know, this support from the hometown organization or the hometown sports writers or to kind of push or to kind of help push a player that is not getting into the Hall of Fame, you know, pushed him into the Hall of Fame. And you know, I don't know any of the details of that, but I do know that the Red Sox, you know, were the last, you know, were way behind, you know, were the last to embrace African American players. So I wonder if that had anything to do with a lack of
the Boston fans. I mean, they had a problem with Ted. How the hell do you have a problem? But this was a fat gang. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trusted Guard Radio Network, live from Fort Lauderdale, Brazil. Chapitos, Marita Park, Trevor Jada, DCJ Productions, Sally Brazza. They're bringing you this show. You know, Williams won two triple crowns, 400. And that he accomplished those feats, he did not. You ready for me? He did not. Don Mattingly was stunned when I told him he didn't win a triple crown in 97 and didn't get paid.
Doc, you're breaking up again.
I said, and Don Mattingly was stunned when I told him that Ted Williams had won the triple crown in 1947 and didn't win the MVP. Didn't win the MVP.
Wow.
Okay, that was the second time he won the crown and didn't. He had 400. 1941, he had 400. Didn't win MVP. In 1942, he won a triple crown. Didn't win MVP. In 1970, he won a triple crown. Didn't win the MVP.
That's crazy.
I mean, you know, it's just. I mean, the Boston fans had a problem with Ted, and they were a strange core. They seemed to embrace Yaz, who was sort of aloof, like they were. They seem to really embrace the Latin player a lot more readily, as America did baseball-wise, too, than they did the black player. In the case of General Pedro Martinez, my man Big Poppy, we talked last year how he looked at, you know, the board. Reggie Jackson had said something to Ricky Henderson one time. Reggie told Ricky, don't do too much, he said, because they'll expect it every year. And Big Poppy, when his home run number declined, the year after he hit the 40-something, but his batting average had went up and his RBIs were still the same. They wanted to give him a pay cut. He said, wait a minute, whoa, production-wise, you didn't lose anything. I gave you another 15 points on the batting average, drove another 5 RBIs in, so I was 7-8 home runs short, and you tell me I got to take a pay cut? Boston has always been strange, been a favorite place or city for people of color, and yet, like I said, they've black players. There are very few first basemen that had the slugging power or the glove that George Scott had at first base. We talk about base. Reggie Smith was an outstanding right fielder out there. I don't think there's been a greater left fielder unless you're going to put Yaz out there in left field. So, I mean, they've had some great, great players, and you know, they've been a lot. So much of a pitcher of the pitcher base. I mean, it's known that Jackie Robinson tried out for the Boston Red Sox, and what was said was the title of a book written by the late great Arthur George, "Get Nigga Off the Field." And the Red Sox, I've heard they turned down. Not only did they turn down Jackie, but supposedly Willie Mays, too, as did the Yankees. The Yankees had hit a curveball. Again, May 6th is Willie Mays' birthday. He's in now. The only man who hit the leading league in stolen bases, that was 4 straight years in a row. And the first player of the exclusive Big Four Club, over 500 home runs, over 500 doubles, over 3,000 base hits. He was the first. Hank Aaron was the second. Eddie Murray, the only short. The first Latin player to ever join that group, Rafael Palmeiro, 500 doubles, and 3,000 bases. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio, live from Fort Lauderdale, Brazil, the capital city of State of Ceará, and 85 degrees every day. Once again, Chapitos, Carl E. Brad, Solly Brad, Pajada, Marina Park, DCJ Productions, and show. And we have some other spots to mention, the Marshall Jr. Big boxing. You know what? You talk about the Rangers, Lady A, but you know what? They look like they were done the previous series. They to be where they are, but I mean, none, never happy. You know, it's like, you know, all or nothing. But they overcame some stuff. They're not
they're not the most healthiest of all teams. So you got to take your hat off for them. Boston, well, has played
no,
really
you know
well.
What it is? Boston is just, they're just an aggressive hockey team. And, you know, you see, like they got, like, it seems like the Rangers just got the wind knocked out of them. They're, like, where is Nash? What is Nash doing? Like, he hasn't done anything. You know, guys are like, oh, well, you know, today at work, guys are like, oh, yeah, but Nash, they've had guys all over them. Okay, so then what happened to the other line, the fourth line that did stuff, like, in the last series? Okay? Mm-hmm. Lundqvist, who is a phenomenal goalie, you can't leave everything up to him. You know? I'm looking at some of these plays. I'm like, if you guys are blocking the goal, how's the guy going to see what's going on?
Mm.
They're standing in front of the goal. They're like, you know, I'm like, you know, get the puck out of there. Get it out. Get it out of the zone.
Lady A, the problem with Lundqvist, Lady A, is that he has no margin of error. If he lets one or two goals in, the game is over with them.
Yeah, but you can't,
they
can't
no
let everything up to them. Oh, my God, forget about
no
the
power
play. It's a joke.
Hey, don't forget, it wasn't almost wasn't a hockey season, Lady A. Don't forget.
No. Yeah, that's true, too.
Well,
yeah, that's true, too.
Like
a lot of people
almost like
about
the NBA,
that.
Almost
yeah.
wasn't a season.
yeah, almost right. wasn't a
you
season.
Know,
you're right about that.
They can't seem to put the puck in the twine.
And their defense,
so
like, they were all over the place.
Yeah.
They're quicker on the breaks. You see the guys skating up the ice. It's like, where are these guys? They're like... The only one that showed me, like he was really all over the place, and that's just because he's fast and he's quick, is Zuccarello. I was like, where is everybody else? Where did they show up? Did the Rangers show up this season, or did they just get get a freaking paycheck?
Well, they're about to have a pretty long summer because they're not coming back from 0-3.
Nope.
That's what that's
well,
what
Well, hold
that's
on.
What?
Hold tight. You know what I mean? Never say never. We're talking about the Rangers, baby. Never say never. And like I said, you know, so you brought a tremendous point. I mean, we thought at one time that we would not be talking about hockey anyway. Let's not forget that
period.
Back 2 years ago when we didn't talk about hockey. So the fact that we're talking about it, they've had a successful year in the Garden. You know, people, we talked about the Knicks the other day. I mean, nobody thought the Knicks would be an elite team. They figured the Knicks could make the playoffs, and they did well. But, I mean,
I
was going to ask you, your Hoopster, what happened against the Pacers? Because I was telling guys, I said, listen, listen, I was going to say, because when Amari Stoudemire, Doc, I've been saying this the whole time, when Amari Stoudemire comes back from his injuries, it's like for some reason the team doesn't gel the same.
Right.
Okay, given and granted, you know, the brother's coming back, you know, his knees are jacked up, his back's jacked up. No, you know, that's granted. But my thing is it's for some reason, when he's in there, they're, like, not the same team. Now, is that me who so? Is it? I mean, that's what I'm seeing. Like, for some reason, they're not the same team.
Well, can I tell you something? Indiana was too young, too big, and too strong. That's what it was.
Uh-huh.
They outplayed the Knicks, and you got to give that coach credit. He used his bench, and Mike Woodson did not. He should have used
right.
that boy.
That's the question, though. I mean, Woodson knows that when you go into the second season, as Willis Reed talks about, you need the bench. He didn't use the bench. Was he scared to use the bench, or was the bench hurt? I mean, what's your reason?
He was scared to use the bench. He was scared to use the bench. And plus, he didn't use Novak. He used that Copeland guy. He should have put him out there more. And he's shooting. The Knicks have him shooting. He should have put him out there.
To me, though, I mean, Hoopster, I play ball. I was out there. You know, I play ball. My thing is you got to go to whoever's strong and hot and whoever's healthy. Like, okay, you know, if you knew Anthony was doing it for you, you know, and you knew the right combos out there with Anthony were getting it done, why didn't you just do that and leave? And you got to give the boy a chance to breathe, too, you know?
Yeah.
So all these other guys that now are, like, looking for light, you know, and are doing it for you, throw them in there. Like, what? I don't get it, man.
Well,
you know what it is, too? You know what it is, too? Like, I look at simple fundamental basketball. Dude, whatever happened to boxing out in the NBA? What happened to shooting the ball to the outlet pass and pushing the ball up the court?
You really want to know? They're not trained. They ain't fundamentally sound.
I'm sorry. Here we go back again to the conversation.
They're not fundamentally sound.
I'm sorry, Doctor. Did that sound familiar? We're talking about fundamentals. Does that sound familiar, like a flashback of Emmanuel Stewart? Emmanuel Stewart and B.B. King? I don't know.
You want my opinion? You got it. You know I'm going to be straight up with it.
They're now fundamentally sound.
It wasn't repaired. Indiana was. So the better team won.
And they're not the most cerebral team in the league to begin with.
But you know, also amazing, too, Lance Stephenson. He really put it on them, boy. He was like a freight train out there, like I was saying last Sunday. If he played like that, the Heat's going to be in trouble. He played like that. The Heat will be in trouble.
The Heat's not going to walk all over him like that. And Flash is hurt. Flash's knees are still jacked up. And, you know, I was telling guys the other day, because when I go to places, people just flag me down. What's up with your boy Hoopster? What's he think about, like, what's going to happen with the Heat? They're going to go all the way. They're going to win everything. And I was
not
like,
gonna be easy. It ain't going to be easy. But also, I'm going to tell you something about Dwayne Wade's knee. When you're wounded, you're more dangerous. You're dangerous when you're wounded.
Why?
So you see how he played that last game. He was wounded, but he scored the executive, what, 8 straight points? He's going to be very dangerous. He's hurt. So the Heat's going to be.
Why would he be more dangerous? As you heard, in other words, his determination, his focus.
And he'll take chances
and do things that he normally wouldn't do.
Well, Doc, for the longest, guys always say. Guys always say there's a difference. Are you hurt or are you injured? There's a difference.
He's hurt. He's not injured. He's hurt.
Exactly. Right.
He's hurt. He's not injured. He's hurt.
That's exactly it. Exactly. That's what you say in the locker room. You hurt or you injured?
He's hurt.
Going back, Bjorn Borg talked about when he was behind in the match, he was more relaxed and took more chances because, like, what do I got to lose? I'm down 2-5, and before you know it, it's 6-5, and you're saying, I think the big factor on that team is what people overlook is Bosch. Bosch allows Wade and LeBron to do things and take chances anytime they want to because you look at the old legs. What a great, great team. Slick Nixon, man, Kareem and the whole Magic on the ball. But the guy that was such an integral part and allowed – a lot of things to happen outside the fact that you couldn't do nothing with this guy. But James Worthy. You left out somebody else, man.
You forgot somebody else, too.
Come on, you forgot Bob McAdoo.
What about Michael Cooper?
Michael Cooper, who they said would probably never even walk again, comes out and starts shooting three-pointers.
Y'all mentioned Cooper.
Michael Cooper.
You mentioned McAdoo. My point is, that's just that. Everybody knew Cooper. Mac, Thompson come over the bench, but you sort of how subtly didn't, like a fine, mellow wine, Worthy was woven and sort of invisible. So, I mean, you saw Magic with the Flash. There's Cap with the sky hook. You know what I mean? Here's dudes on the top of the corner. Thompson, Cooper. But there's Worthy. Worthy is so much like Tim Duncan. You can make the same argument.
You can make the same argument for freaking Vinnie Johnson coming off the bench. For the Detroit Pistons. Vinnie Johnson, the microwave.
But everybody knew the microwave. Even though you knew Worthy, you knew him, but a lot of times you didn't see him because he wasn't concerned. About being seen.
In the light.
His concern was everybody knew Microwave. In Detroit, everybody knew Microwave. Everybody knew Sally. You see.
But in LA,
when you talk about the LA teams, you always talk about Magic. You talk about Cap. Right then, you talk about McAdoo, Cooper.
Yeah.
You know that? he was
hey,
there.
Doc, can I make a quick point about this series, please? Just a question, a cut to the chase point. Everybody knows about the former Showtime Lakers and whatnot, but the fact of the matter is that the Miami Heat's going to have trouble with Indiana's bigs, okay?
Oh, definitely.
They're long, they're big, and they're physical, okay? Miami's going to have trouble with their bigs.
Rooney. I mean, listen, you made your big fight prediction. Look on that, because you know, we ain't done with you on that. Like, we ain't done with you on that, Rooney, okay?
And let me tell you something.
Yeah, I'm
going to
say psychologist that ever happened, Rooney. You know that, right?
And let me tell you something.
I'm going to psychologist that ever happened.
LeBron James is going to have to work for everything that he gets in this series against the Georges, okay?
Oh, definitely.
Because George
can
defend
him
one-on-one, and LeBron is going to have to work for everything that he gets.
Don't be surprised. There's going to be a couple fights in that series, too. Don't worry.
You think
and,
so?
Oh, it's going to be technical fouls. Oh, don't worry. Yes, it will be. Oh, definitely. This ain't over.
Mm-mm.
By the fact, we want to congratulate the Cleveland Cavaliers for another first-round draft pick again, second time in 3 years. So they got the number one pick again. We want to congratulate them and the owners of what Cleveland going through down there. So now they got
and
Mike Brown back.
And I want to congratulate Rooney. I want to congratulate Lou Rooney because he finally woke out of his slumber. Okay.
Wow.
making a prediction like Alvarez.
I think you need to go to sleep. Wow.
You never let me tell you why I predicted that. I see something.
What you
see what? What you see? You ain't seen no future, that's for sure. You ain't seen no future, that's for sure, damn it. Let's go to commercial break.
The opinions and views.
You see what?
The opinions and views.
Doc, you need to cut his mic, man. You got to cut that mic real quick. Don't let see what you need to say that.
Rooney, he barely
Where's
beat
Howell
Trout.
At? Where's Howell when you need him and Dusty? Oh, my God. You
Rooney,
lucky.
He barely beat Trout. Rooney, he barely beat Trout.
All right,
Trout.
That's true, but I'm going to tell you what I see. I see something.
What do you
and
see?
What I see is,
what do you see?
I see that.
That's
no,
a nut
I
job.
See that the powers that be. I think it's time that Floyd loses that. Oh, I'm telling you. If Alvarez goes the distance and is on his feet when that fight's over, he's going
to
get the decision. Now, I'm
listen
telling
to
you,
me. Listen to
first.
Me. Listen
and
to
I want,
me.
Wait a minute, NBA. I want big props when that happens. I
listen,
want big
listen.
Props.
Oh,
you
get it.
You
get it.
I want all of you to give me big props when it happens.
Listen. Listen to me. Because now you're telling me what you see. I'm going to tell you to listen to me. Okay? Listen to me. Guerrero tried to walk up and try to push and clinch Mayweather. And Mayweather was on him like white on rice. All I was waiting for Mayweather to do was close his eyes and punch him. Listen to me.
Alvarez is
no,
much
put his one hand behind his back. That's you should have did.
Oh,
much stronger than Guerrero, Lady A. Much stronger than Guerrero, Alvarez. Much stronger.
Listen to me, Rooney. Rooney. It's not going to happen. Okay?
Let's face it, Lady A. Guerrero didn't run. Hey, Lady A, you know as well as I do, Guerrero didn't belong in the same damn ring with Floyd Mayweather. The guy, I'm not going to say he was a bum, but the skill level was so vastly different that it was ridiculous.
Listen to me. There were rounds in that fight against Trout. He fell asleep, Alvarez. He didn't do anything. You cannot step in the ring with Mayweather and do
you're
that.
You're right, and Trout couldn't take advantage of
you cannot
of. There
do that
times,
against Floyd Mayweather.
There were times when he let Alvarez take the whole damn round off. And ordinarily, I'd agree that he wouldn't be able to do that against Floyd. But you got to remember, the guy's, 40 years old?
Listen to me. You cannot take rounds off with Floyd Mayweather. He will make you pay.
Yep.
You're right, but Lady A, I'm telling you that if he's still standing at the end of that 12 rounds, he's going to get the decision. Now, you heard it here first. If he's still standing when that 12 round is over, they're going to say it's time Floyd loses his O, and that decision is going to go to Alvarez.
Hey, Rooney, okay.
You got too many hits to the head? Too much wrestling. You got too many hits in the head?
What you're telling us now, Rooney, is that you have some contact not with the spirit world, right?
With the nut job world. With the nut job world.
Just,
Oh my God.
This, okay? I'm just going to say one thing and shut everybody up right quick, okay? Don't forget that Buster Douglas, let me finish. Buster Douglas was a 45-1 underdog in a Mike Tyson fight. Just remember that, okay?
Well, you know why Mike lost that fight?
Robert Guerrero
he didn't train for that fight, man. Come on. You know Mike didn't train for that fight.
Let me tell you something, Rooney.
He ain't trained for that fight. You know that.
Bringing that fight up, and as tight as you and Mike are, Rooney, you got a lot of nerve. I'm going to tell Mike,
45-1. Doc.
I'm going to tell Mike.
And that rumble. Remember that, okay? 45-1.
Yo, Doc's trying to scare you. He's like, yo, I'm going to tell Mike. I'm going to tell him, too.
Why is this? Because I see him out here. You know I'm going to tell him. Tell him you see him out here.
Lady A.
What happened?
I talked to Mike about that fight. And we had a whole bunch of laughs over this thing.
He was 45 to 1 underdog in that fight.
While you're sleeping, Rooney, while you're sleeping in your slumber and you hear, I'm going to kick your ass, all right? Don't worry about it, because that's Mike Tyson coming to get you, because it's bad enough.
I got to let you guys know that it's a hell of a fight that Floyd has been over the years, and the guy doesn't walk on water. You know,
listen,
so
I'm going
to
tell
you this. You guys that Floyd doesn't walk on water, okay?
I'm
going
to tell you guys this, though. I'm going to tell you guys this. Much props to Hopkins and De La Hoya, the last, like, I would say 3 or 4 fights that they put together. Has it been incredible or what?
Yeah.
The Matisse fight was unbelievable.
The Garcia fight was unbelievable. Yeah.
And now you're gonna have now they're gonna put Matisse against Garcia, and now this Lopez fight with Maidana is gonna be incredible.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you right now, kudos to them, 100% for putting together a card.
Read about Lamar Peterson getting beat.
Oh. But you know what? And you know what? I started to say something before Doc did the segue for Nate. Here's the thing. Peterson he stuck to his game plan and kept doing what he was doing the first round.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt in my mind he could have stretched out that fight. Now, I'm not talking about winning.
Oh,
I'm talking about stretching out the fight. His thing was, his problem was is he got caught on trying it with the angles. Like, if you saw him, now Matisse was like, oh, no, you're not going to do that to me the second round. And now Matisse got it and started cutting off the angles until eventually he had nowhere to run. And
that's right. Yeah.
And the second he caught him with that right hand, okay, I said, wow, that's it. He shook. When he came out the next round, I said, he's not going to make it through the round. Because if he catches him, he's going to go down again, and that's what happened.
But
he had the right strategy. It was just that Matisse just was a lot more of a ring, you know, used more of the ring and used ring battleship, and he got him.
The point you bring up, people don't realize that in the Ali fight against George Foreman, now Angelo talked about that in his book, is that you know, Ali went to the rope-a-dope. If you watch the first 2 or 3 rounds, Ali didn't have rope-a-dope. Ali went to the rope-a-dope because George did a great job of cutting the ring off. I mean, if I'm correct, I think he had Sadler in his corner. He's one of the great trainers. Another guy, we talk about great trainers. We talk about Sadler a lot. Dick Sadler. We talk about Eddie Futch. We talk about, of course, we talk about Angelo. You know, we talk about our beloved Emmanuel, Bowie Fischer, Yank Durham, James Morton. But Sadler was the guy, you know. Foreman was a great champion, and he had a hell of a guy in his corner. And they realized that. I mean, they cut the ring. They had a game plan.
Right.
They cut that ring off, and Ali had to go. Only Ali could have survived it. Just kudos to a great. Real quickly, Navy baseball. Were you surprised Josh Hamilton left it? Was that a situation if he wanted to go, or the Rangers were tired of him? What happened with Hamilton leaving Texas?
I'm not sure, but they've got a lot of internal things going on in their in Texas. I mean, with Nolan Ryan, with Hamilton leaving, I'm not sure, but you know, there was some mean-spirited things you know, I mean, like when, you know, when he came back and they put on the, yeah, and they put on the scoreboard, boo him, you know, like, you know, make sure you boo and all this stuff. And they, it, you know, and he said that, Dallas was a football town and not a baseball town or something like that. And those comments got taken way out of, proportion. So, it was not on friendly terms, and he seems to have gotten pretty beat up by ownership. And there's been a lot going on with ownership. I mean, you know, Nolan Ryan, you know, being sort of kicked to the wayside too. So there's a lot of sort of turmoil there. I mean, I don't know the details. I don't know if anybody does, but there seems to be a lot going on under the radar. In that situation, though, they are winning the division and having a great year and sort of running away with things early on. So I don't know how much all that matters in the end as far as winning goes, but there does seem to be a lot of turmoil.
You know, I mean, was there concerns, you know, about drinking and substance abuse? I mean, he started off a flaming bat, the four home runs in one game, and then he tailed off. I mean, he still was Josh Hamilton. Were the injuries there? Were there psychological problems? What's the word that you heard? Why he sort of tailed off somewhat?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure, and I do think all that's in question. But what also is in question is like last year, you know, these, you know, him going, you know, some photos of him going to a bar or something, you know, every so often there's like a photo of him drinking a beer and it gets leaked or something. And I don't know any details, but I just have to wonder if it's, you know, if that doesn't have something to do with management, worried about a long-term contract, you know, and they didn't want to do a long-term contract. And so what they do is preemptively try to make sure that they win the public relations battle. So I'm a little skeptical of all these different, you know, photos and stuff coming out, because I just wonder if it was the, you know, ownership trying to preempt the fans and say, you know, look, this guy, you know, this guy's got a sketchy character, he's got a sketchy past, and you know, I don't know, and justify not signing him to, you know, long-term contract. I'm not saying they're not wrong to have, you know, to avoid the long-term, you know, these contracts, which I think are, you know, putting a lot of teams, including the Yankees. I mean, I think the Yankees, you know, in recent years have been hampered by, you know, a lot of these long-term contracts that got signed. But I just don't know the details. It just seems that there's a lot of sketchy stuff going on, and his separation with Texas. I mean,
Texas.
There was some stuff, I know, like he did, like when he blamed the third base coach last year for, you know, his injury. You know, when he went home on a when he tried to score on a foul ball, and he, you know, hurt his shoulder or whatever, and blamed the third base coach. But I don't know. I guess only time will tell. Because I mean, he's the other thing though. You know, his career's been, you know, he got off to a late start in his career. But I also think the thing that needs to be remembered is that he is 32 years old. I mean, not that I mean, you know, that should be in his prime. But also, I mean, it's not like he's 27, 28, 29. You know, he's sort of, you know. You know, he's 32, and you know, maybe he would tell.
He's
so
he's
anyway,
I mean,
I'm sort of rambling.
You're saying he's in that gray area, depending on his body and you know, the makeup. You know, he could be, like you say, 32, 33 could be declining for some guys. 32, 33 could be just the beginning. I mean, if you're Satchel Paige, day, I mean, it's like you're coming out the crib. But
yeah.
The point you make, especially a guy. Has had some substance abuse, alcohol problems. You know, I mean, that wear and tears on you, that can elevate an age factor. And the point you bring up, I think what's advantageous for him too, though, is being in a league, though, maybe baseball with the DH.
Oh, totally, yeah. So you can get those days where you're still in the lineup and, can still get at bats and don't have to do the wear and tear of the field.
Yeah,
hey, Doc, I'm really sorry, but I actually got to run now. But
it's been good
to get back with you guys, and hopefully I can, you know, get back on board sometimes and try to figure things out. But I'm glad we hooked up tonight, and we'll try to figure something out. So I'll try to get back on board sometimes, or at least when I can. And it's good being back and back with all you guys. And
thanks,
all
Nate.
Stuff.
Yeah,
and
thanks, Nate.
To hear you again, Nate.
Nate,
you
Nate
again.
Baseball
you.
Coming in, setting it up. So now we can bring our bullpen. We can bring our Mario Rivera to close it out. But there he is, ladies and gentlemen. Yes,
the Sandman.
He did sign a long term contract with us. He didn't go free agent. He decided to stay with the team. Hey,
yeah.
He's still a Pirate fan. He's still a Pirate fan. Clemente will always be number one.
Pittsburgh fan. I like him. We're gonna be friends. I like the
Steelers. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Doc, don't get hoops started with that, man. You know, he's gonna be like, yeah, I got the greatest quarterback, Roethlisberger. You got you don't know what quarterback. you don't know what quarterback you got there, Lady A. You have no idea.
Yeah, you confused out there.
Yeah. Hold on, Lady A. Hold on. Let me help you out, Lady A. Here's a bunch of straws. Whoever picks the shortest straw.
Joe Namath could come back.
Exactly.
It's sad and touching to hear. Not only is Sanchez in the mix, but that Mark Sanchez quite possibly will be the number one starting quarterback for the Jets. Man,
Doc, you know what really hurts about that, though, Doc? You know what really hurts about that? Like, you know, here are people that, like, thought, like, based on what the press was saying, that, you know, Geno Smith was going to be the guy.
He should be.
He will be. You know, and now you got guys all excited, like even at work. You know, I talk to guys about all kinds of sports. You guys know me. I'm like a royal jock. I go any sport, whatever. And I'm sitting at work, and guys are saying to me, "Oh, yeah, maybe we got a shot this year. Maybe we'll win one game, right? You know, we'll win one game, Lady A."
Wow.
I said, oh,
one
he's something
game.
Him.
Wow.
Maybe we'll score a couple of touchdowns. You know,
wow.
Like, it, you know, at what
nope.
point, Doc, let me ask you this, Doc. We were in the locker room. We were standing in there, and we saw the faces on these guys of disgust. We saw Santonio Holmes. We heard Santonio Holmes say, what did he say, Doc? As long as Mark Sanchez what? Oh, yeah.
Is the quarterback? Okay.
As a quarterback of the New York Jets, they will never what? Repeat after
They'll
me.
Never win.
Follow, repeat after me, everybody. Repeat after me, everybody, in unison. Follow the bouncing ball. Never win a Super Bowl. Follow
never
the bouncing
ball.
Never win
a Super
Bowl.
I think he was talking about never winning a game.
All I'm going to say, the
butt fumbles,
he gives us the best chance to win.
Oh, come on, Doc.
He gives us the best chance to win.
Tim Smith destroyed Rex Ryan. I stood there. I was watching TV, and of course, C Wings, number one, gets the number one question. Oh, yeah, C Wings, yeah, he gets the first question. And then Tim Smith just rips into him. It was great. I'm like, how could he? And Tim Smith's like, how could you say he gives us the best chance to win? Where are you getting that from? And then very defensively he answers, well, I've been a coach all these years. You guys remember that, right? Oh, I've been a quarterback
all these years.
I don't need anybody to tell me. Oh, okay, guy. No problem. Yeah, even a quarterback all these years a coach all these years. And what are we talking about here, Doc?
I don't know. See, we better talk to Rex.
Well, right now. At this point, C Wings is the only one talking to Rex.
Yeah, but what's that? What's that?
Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio, Prison Guard Radio Network, live from Porto Alegre, Brazil. C.I. is the state of Porto Alegre's capital, Sal e Brasa. Tapajadas, the park. DGJ Productions, your Brazilian sponsors for the show tonight. And a couple other two we mentioned, regular vehicles. And with that, in a few minutes, we're going to let it go. She's back, Lady A.
In fact, maybe we'll just try to do a Wednesday move with Lady A. That's how it started. As you heard from Rooney, his prediction, Floyd Mayweather Jr. will lose. He's 44-0. We'll
Rooney,
see what happens.
He lost his mind. Rooney lost his mind, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Hoop, let me tell you something, Hoop. You're listening to the man who stays way ahead of the curve. All right? Way ahead of the curve.
The swerve or what?
You know what? Lady, I see an undercard.
The swerve or curve? What'd you say?
Smell it down.
The undercard, Doc? What'd you say?
I said, the Hoops and Melly Mel is going to be the verbal undercard here, baby. You know, the undercard.
Oh,
that's
one now.
Man.
Yeah, but
we got this recorded, right, Doc?
Okay.
Hey, Doc, I want big props from my illustrious counterparts here when that comes out the next day and it says Mayweather. First
law is
handed. New champion, Alvarez.
Oh,
oh,
good.
Oh
my God. Give me a drink.
I'm ready.
You like mama or what?
Rooney, get ready.
You're not in Brazil, are you?
I stand by it.
You're in Brazil? You're drinking them cucuras on the beach somewhere? We don't know.
I prefer margaritas, but be that as it may. Fuck
you,
hey, margarita. Never go wrong.
Hey, hey, Doc, you got to cut his mic, man. He's going crazy over here. You got to cut that man's mic.
Hey, Rooney, here we go. Rooney, close this out. Come on, Rooney.
No, cut his mic after that. No.
Am I closing out or cutting out? Anyway, it's been a pleasure as usual. The Sports In Depth Nation been here. The Sports In Depth panel been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God, the radio network. And the straw that serves the drink has been here. And that's been the incomparable Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doc.
Gang, hold tight. Don't anybody...
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please.
And with that,
They got technical foul already. I told you.
You was that technical foul already?
Yeah, I told you. There's going to be some chippiness in this series.
I know, Doc.
Series. It's a great series, Indiana and
Miami. Oh, you're going to see more. This ain't nothing.
Really good series.
LeBron James just threw an elbow. Oh. LeBron is exchanging words. It's getting chippy out there, ladies and gentlemen. It's getting chippy out there. Like I said, it's going
to
be something else.
I was going to say to you, like, do you think that Malignaggi is going to lose?
Paul has two things going against him. Rona is the up-and-coming star. He's the guy that's turning toward to being one of those six fights that Mayweather has. I think Bruno's more talented. It's a good fight, and I think Paulie has going against him. I think Paulie is really, really banged up. I think this is the kind of fight that Paulie's is getting some gift paid aids because he's been very good fighters in this era. He's been a very good name. He's a good guy. Paulie always has time. Paulie has been a credit to the game of boxing. And boxing is taking care of Paulie for that. He's been a credit to the game, and he stayed true to the game, and the game is paying him back. And this is one of those fights. Now, if Broner is not at his best, and somehow Paulie has that one good fight left and rise above the cage. He could surprise Bruno. I mean, I've said this before. It's on the block. Only three guys were unbeatable. The first Ali, the Rand at 135, Sugar Ray Robinson as a welterweight. You would have to lean toward the younger guy. He's coming up in weight, which is not going to be a problem. And I deep down inside, Paulie will never be 100% again. You know, And that is the biggest factor, is that, you know, if he's at his best, this is a hell of a fight. But I don't think Paulie will ever be again 100% physically at his best. And we saw that when we saw that the fight, first fight at the Barclays Center, you know.
Yeah.
Even though the guy was overweight and he couldn't win the fight. But I don't think Paulie will ever be 100% again. And there are few guys who ever enter the ring that way. It's going to be great. That's going to be in Brooklyn. I mean, it's working great out. Everything's going good for Paulie. Big payday, prime time in Brooklyn. Wouldn't be surprised to see Paulie pull it off, but Paulie's got to be at his best. And, I think
Doc,
maybe Paulie's
Gooner
best
is
night.
Is
you
heard that,
pal?
You
got
to be at his best.
Gooner is.
Well, you know, the other side of it is, like, I see Brona and Paulie Setti. He's like, who has this guy really beaten? And Paulie is considered a veteran. I mean, he's been fighting for a long time. You know,
yeah.
he's fought the best. This guy has not really fought anyone yet of merit. So I don't think that Paulie is going to go in there and just only try to jab. You know, everything is going to be predicated off the jab. But I kind of think that to some degree. The fact that this guy, that Broner's going to be going in there up in weight, I do think that maybe his speed is going to be tested a little more.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's going to be a good fight. And in the long run, I think Broner might be too much for him.
What round? A knockout?
No, I think it'll go to distance.
It's
I don't really think he can't
break him in. He has a decent job and a lot of heart. The guy can't break him in.
Yeah. No, but you know, Broner, Doc, here's the thing, too, that I've analyzed from watching some of Broner's fights. Broner stands in front of guys. He has yet to really fight a guy like Paulie that moves around in a ring. And that lateral movement.
It's a big test for Broner. It's a big test. It's how legit he is. Paulie is no pushover. Okay, this fight will not only how this will progress, is he learning? He learned. And will he learn? There's adjustments you have to make in this fight that's going to be the make or break part of his career. I mean, if he can make the adjustments, if he can do the things need to be done. No, Paulie Malignaggi is a lot of things. A stiff is not one of them. Okay?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I mean?
I mean, you know, have guys criticized him for his punching power? Yes, you know. But as far as you know, him being a pushover in the ring, absolutely not. And I'll tell you this: I was sitting at the fight with Garcia and Judah in the press room, and I was talking to Zachary Ochoa. With Ellie sat back, interviewed myself, Zachary Ochoa, who was on the undercard of the fight. And Ricky Lopez, and you know we were sitting down and we were talking. These are all guys that you know talking about Ricky fights at 126, you know, and we're sitting down and we're talking about the fight. And one of the things that they both said was, hey, listen, you know, it's going to be a test for Broner. You know, it's not going to be Paulie's not going to just go in there and let this guy just do what he wants to do. I mean, again, he has not really fought anybody that has any kind of lateral movement.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be forced. You know, a guy like Broner, who stands there and exchanges with you, once you start throwing a jab out there, the guy's going to get frustrated because he can't let off. He can't let off. And Paulie's going to be throwing a jab out there, snapping a jab out there, and moving around the ring. Now, he's going to do either one of two things. Either he's going to stand there and have Paulie come to him, which Paulie's not going to do.
Yeah.
Okay? Or he could try to adjust, like you're saying, Doc, and try to find Paulie to hit him. But good luck with that. You understand? Because Paulie's not going to stand there and let you just hit him.
Nope.
You know, like I said, he's going to be throwing that jab out there. So I think it's going to be somewhat of a challenge for Broner. Now, in the long run,
it's also going to be a challenge for his corner. And this is the thing that this is why you know you're the greatest, and this whole panel is. I mean, even Rooney with his. I mean, this is
no
going to tell us what kind of corner he has. I mean, back to. And Rooney said, every now and then go to the body. And me sitting in the corner and Lady A saying, hey, Doc, you know what? Take the jab, go to the right hand. Me coming to the corner and Hoops are saying, hey, you know what? The extra 2 miles is the difference now because you're cruising here around 7, 8, 9. He has who can tell him because, you know, you can prepare for the strategy. Body. Hey, what could cut off the ring? Dance this round. This fight, what kind of, as a fighter, what kind of people he has behind him as a right corner, you know,
right.
Things can happen. So this is, I mean, maybe let's just say, hey, the less you can hit, the longer you last. Angelo, but you know, the thing too, having the right people around. I mean, talent definitely can take you a lot of ways. John Conley once said, the reality of what did Angelo ever teach Ali or Ray Leonard? But still to be there for that one little thing and say, hey, you know what? Them green shoes don't go with that outfit. Hey, so this fight will tell us a lot about Bruna and INC, Bruna and Company. That's all, you know what I mean? Because that's the big end of when Jermaine Taylor lost to Pavlik. I remember I was sitting in the corner talking to me and Scoop were talking to one of the corner men that worked with Lennox Lewis. And he said that Emmanuel and how we miss and love him told Jermaine, whatever you do, always circle. Don't back straight up. What happened? When he backed straight up, bam, they was laying in the corner, fight was over. The little things.
Yeah.
So those are the little subtleties, but those are the little subtleties in Pavlik that Hopkins was able to take advantage of. You understand? Because, when you want to call a spade, you know, hey, Hopkins is the kind of guy that will do that to you. He does sit there and he watches you and waits. Because remember, Hopkins is a counter fighter. So he'll just wait to see something. And there have been times when I've heard him tell Nazim at the corner, I saw something, and then the next round he comes in and he's whacking away at the guy because he sat and waited and saw some of those little subtleties that were deficiencies in a guy, and then he just nails them. So, you know, adjustments.
Murder Hopkins has been one of the great fighters of his era, and he's been one of the great champions of all time. I mean, he's the reason why he can still do this, and Rooney is reluctant to be longer, but the reason why he can do these things he does because the guy or two things, they're not fundamentally sound and they can't fight. And that's it.
Well,
yeah, we got to get ready to go. So, into Doc Stanley. That work is the boxing way. From Nate Seymour has come back with us. What's the latest on the game?
The Heat's winning so far. So far, it's getting chippy out there, like I said. It's going to get chippy the whole series.
Okay.
They already got the exchange of words already. It's going to be something else, the series.
Hey, in other words, the guys out there talking about each other's mamas, huh? Yeah.
Not yet. It is just chucking and jiving.
Doc, you don't get the game down there?
No. Because the big thing down here is football. The big tournaments happening down here. Corinthians won the Polish championship against Santos. You know, we had CI to stay here. They just won a championship. We had the Brazilian team not so long ago play a game. I mean, every day there's some kind of, right now, all the tournaments, the Holistic Championship. They've still got the next month, the FIAA start their tournament. And then, so you're going to have football going all over. We get the fights because their show gets Showtime. So we catch Showtime with no HBO. So we get all the Showtime fights. But the big thing
down
here is football.
Fights on Showtime, no more HBO. That's it.
Ironically enough, that they do play enough, they do have NFL football during the course of the NFL season. Again, Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, the first radio of SI News Sports, the one of only, the lovely, the Lady A, the boxing way with Lady A. He can take you down low off the dribble or just simply dunk right over you. Your little Melco Jr. Telling it like it is.
It lost his mind.
Hear it or not.
lost his mind. Cosell lost his mind over there.
Well, you know, hey, it happens, you know.
Happened.
Live from Fort Lake, Brazil.
Too much tequila, man. Somebody down there with you in Brazil, man. He ain't telling us.
will be. No, hey, listen. If he's here, hey, Hoopsa, he ain't in my part of Brazil. You know what I mean? If he's down there, baby. He's on the down low.
I don't blame you. I won't know him either. He was down there.
Not good at all.
Again, we'll be back here on Sunday. Lady A, can we maybe do this next week this time? It's good for you, Lady A, boxing away, or we'll talk about doing it for a week?
Thanks again.
Yeah.
It was good to hear from you. Thank you for everything. It was good to hear from you.
You know what? Hey, Hoopsa, I'm going to close the show with Rooney's new theme song. Before I go, leave you these thoughts. Live your life today as the same before God tomorrow. Service to others and venture pay for your space on earth. Life's most simple and urgent question is, what are you doing for us? I simply say, and by my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. And now, ladies and gentlemen, theme song.
It's just that lost my mind, losing my mind. Just like losing my mind, losing my mind.
It's tied up right now, Hoopsa.
Yeah, sign up. Let's get, she's going to get chippy out there. Don't worry. That's my type of game. I like to talk.
Oh, man.
Good to hear from you, though. Glad you...
I know, baby.
What's coming up, Lady A?
You be good, man, all right?
Yeah, you do the same. When are fights coming up?
We got the one coming up on the 8th.
On Showtime, right?
Lopez and Maidana, yeah. That's the next one.
That's your Showtime, right?
Yeah, that's on Showtime. I don't think HBO's just going to be rolling with our man from Top Rank from now on, so.
Yeah, hell with Bob Arum.
Yeah.
I don't like Bob Arum. I don't like him.
But now Golden Boy's got Showtime, so.
Yeah, I want to hook up Showtime, HBO 5, though.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I'm
going
to follow them. All right,
man. I'll see you soon then, man. Take care.
Okay. All right.
All right, later. All right, bye. Running.